While not every Christian is a missionary, every Christian should be involved in missionary work. That's very simply what I want us to consider this evening. While not every Christian is a missionary, every Christian should be involved in missionary work. I want to be very clear from the very beginning what I'm trying to say, so there's no confusion. When I say that not every Christian is a missionary, I am not contradicting what is the very clear commandment of the Word of God, that every Christian is to be a witness, every Christian is called to evangelize, every Christian, no matter who you are or where you are, we're called to share the gospel to other people. That's beyond doubt. It's important to remember that. Every Christian is called to do that. But when I say not every Christian is a missionary, I know sometimes we use that terminology and we say, well, I'm a Christian at home, or I'm a missionary at home, I'm a missionary in my work, I'm a missionary in school, and we understand what we're trying to say with that, and it's valid. What we're trying to say is, I'm witnessing for the Lord, I'm sharing the gospel in the places in the Lord where the Lord has placed me, and that's right. But I think it is also important to be precise and understand the terms that we're using, and the reason is because when we use that term missionary, really historically the term is used, has been used, for those who go to serve the Lord and share the gospel in another place, another culture, which is quite often another country, but at least to another culture, to a specific group of people somewhere. The danger of saying that every Christian is a missionary and you're a missionary wherever you are, the danger to that is then people sometimes become very comfortable. And they're not exercised to think about the possibility of being sent out, to being sent out of their comfort zone and going someplace else to share the gospel. That's really all I'm trying to get across when I say that not every Christian is a missionary. But having said that, being very clear that every Christian is a witness, every Christian is called to evangelize, the Lord has called some to go out and to share the gospel in another place, to another people group, to another culture. But whatever the Lord has called each person to do, whatever the Lord has called each Christian to do, we're all to be involved in some way in missionary work. And that's what I want us to see here from this passage in Acts chapter 13, in Acts chapter 14. We have some principles here about two things that we can be involved as Christians in missionary work. Because it's important to understand that the missionary who goes on the field is not some super Christian, someone extra special just because they've gotten the plane and gone to another country. And we say, oh, the missionary, and put them on the pedestal and think, well, I can't be involved in missionary work. I can't do that. The Lord hasn't called me to do that. What can I do in missionary work? Sometimes we see deputation videos and see presentations and see what the Lord is doing in different places, and we feel like, I can't be involved in that. But the Word of God is very clear. And we can see the principles here in these two passages, that every Christian, without exception, is to be involved in missionary work. And first of all, we can see, beginning Acts chapter 13, that some Christians are involved in missionary work in their own local church. I think it's very important to start there, because it's impossible to overemphasize the importance of the local church in missionary work. And obviously, missionaries go out, and many times they plant churches, they plant their own local church. But here I'm talking about the local church that trains up, sends out, and supports missionaries. Well, Christians in their own local church being involved in being an essential part of missionary work in their own local church. That's one of the emphases that we see here in the book of Acts, in these chapters that we read. If you go back to Acts chapter 13, when we started reading that chapter, your minds probably immediately went to Paul and Barnabas. Of course, because Paul and Barnabas were the famous missionaries. They're the ones who went to the Gentiles. The Lord sent them out on these missionary journeys, and our minds tend to go and think about them. We teach our children at home. We teach our children in Sunday school about Paul and Barnabas, and from a young age, we know who they are and what they did. But notice with me, that is not how chapter 13 begins. Chapter 13, verse 1 begins, "Now there were in the church that was at Antioch." This passage, which is going to tell us about the Holy Spirit sending Paul and Barnabas out as missionaries in the beginning of their missionary journey, starts with the local church at Antioch. And many times we forget about the local church. We forget about the importance of the local church in missionary work. But here we have an example of a local church in these early New Testament times that was an essential part of missionary work. We see, first of all, this church was a training ground. It was a place that was active, where men were serving. See, in verse 1, we have a list here. It says of certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, of course, but also Simeon, Lucius, Manaen, and Saul. There were various men, not just Paul and Barnabas who are working in this church. There were other men that the Lord had raised up, and I'm sure there were others that are not listed here, working in that local church, training maybe in that local church and serving, ministering. It says in verse 2, as they ministered to the Lord. So Paul and Barnabas were not just sitting around doing nothing in their local church before they went out. They were serving, they were ministering alongside these other men. So the local church is a place to serve. You have to start there. Every single Christian is called to serve and participate in their local church. We know that, but it's always important to remind ourselves that God has not called us as Christians to simply attend church. God has called us to be part of the local church, to participate, to serve, to minister according to our gifts. Every local church needs that, needs every single person to be involved in the work because there's so much to do. And every Christian has a gift, has many gifts sometimes they can use in the work of the Lord in their local church. And then, of course, part of the service, part of the work in the local church is to teach, is to train. So we start with our children at home and in Sunday school and in children's meetings and youth meetings and all the things that the local church does. And some of you are involved in teaching. Again, whether your own children, your own grandchildren, you're involved in the teaching ministry of this local church. And that's important because you're sowing the seed that the Lord can use to train up future ministers and missionaries. We don't know how the Lord could touch the heart of a young person or of a child from a very early age to serve him. That all starts in the local church. So don't downplay your importance. And even if you're here and you don't have a teaching ministry, maybe in the local church, I can tell you as a parent of two young kids, that even just greeting the children in the church and smiling at them and shaking their hands and making them feel welcome and part of the local church is important. It's so important because they remember that, they understand that as they grow up, that they're part of the church, and then the things that they're learning and being taught intellectually, the Lord uses all of that many times to call someone either to the mission field, to the ministry, for full-time service in the church. It could be teaching young people as well, teaching older folks. All of that is part of the ministry of a local church. As we say, where do missionaries come from? It's not a missionary factory someplace where missionaries are produced. Where do missionaries come from? They come from the local church. And so the local church is absolutely essential in missionary work, in being a place that trains up missionaries, gives opportunity for service, is an active, healthy local church. But if that's true, if a local church is going to be focused on those things, well, then the next thing is that we see here in the book of Acts is that this local church at Antioch sent out their missionaries. It says in verse 2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So Paul and Barnabas were active in their local church, but the Lord called them to go someplace else, called them to go to be missionaries. And what did the local church do? Well, we don't read of any hesitation, but I wonder if there was a little bit of that in the minds of some people, because think about it. Would you like to have Paul and Barnabas in this local church? What a blessing that would be. Paul and Barnabas in your local church, serving, actively ministering in your local church. Would you want them to leave? And they said, the Lord has called us to go someplace else. You know the right answer. Well, that's wonderful, and may the Lord bless you. But that little part of your mind says, no, stay here. But doesn't that happen in the local church sometimes as well? Sometimes the Lord does raise up from the children and young people. They grow up, they're part of the church, and then the Lord calls them and sends them out someplace else, either here at home or on the mission field, or they go to someplace else. And while we're thankful, we really are, the Lord has called them and sent them out, there is sometimes that little thought in your mind that, that's too bad. I wish they would stay here. We need them here in this local church. But a healthy local church understands that part of its ministry is to train up people and then send them out. That could be your own children as well, your own grandchildren. And that's hard because you want your kids to grow up, and especially, I imagine, in a smaller country like you have here, it's nice to have the kids at least fairly close or the grandkids fairly close, and it's a natural affection that you want your children whom you love to be close. And sometimes if the Lord would maybe call them to go someplace else, and especially out on the foreign mission field, there is that temptation at least to put some obstacle in their way, maybe a little bit of guilt. How can you leave me behind, and what will we do without you? But if we want the Lord to be sending out missionaries, we have to be willing to send them out from our own local churches. We have to be willing for the Lord to send, or to call and to send the best members of our local church to go serve him someplace else. That's not always easy, but it is the biblical example that we see here in the book of Acts. Of course, some men also stayed. Just Paul and Barnabas went from this list. There were at least three other men that stayed in the church. They ministered in the church. They continued serving. They continued sending out missionaries. But what else happened in this local church that can give us an example? If we go over to Acts chapter 14 and verse 21 that we read, we can see that the local church in Antioch not only was a training ground for missionaries, a place where men were serving, not only did they send out missionaries, but we also see that they supported their missionaries. Acts chapter 14, verse 21 gives us the end of the first missionary journey of Paul and Barnabas. It says, "And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch." If we skip down to verse 26, it says, "And then sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them, and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles, and there they abode long time with the disciples." Now, it may be a little more implicit in this passage, but we can say that the local church in Antioch was supporting their missionaries because Paul and Barnabas, when they finished this journey, went back home. They went to their home church. Why did they go back? Well, they knew that their home church had been supporting them, at least praying for them, if not supporting them in other ways. They were comfortable enough to go back home. It says in verse 28, "There they abode a long time with the disciples." They were comfortable to stay there for a long time before going back out on another missionary journey. And that tells me that the local church in Antioch understood what it meant to be a local church involved in missionary work. Because it's not just training up and sending out, because you can send out and send out and send out, but you also have to support the missionaries that are sent out from the local churches. This church did that, and all of our churches, we strive to do that. That's something that a healthy local church does. We can also see the importance of that. You can turn over to 3 John, verses 5 to 8. Just for another portion of Scripture that shows the importance of that type of support for missionaries who go out. 3 John, verses 5 through 8. It says, "Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church. If thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. Because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such, that we might be fellow helpers to the truth." And you see what I'm saying about you and your local church, without going to the mission field, are an essential part of missionary work. Here it says, you're a fellow helper. That's what Gaius was in this moment with those missionaries who came back to the church after having gone out. And it's the same principle for missionary work today. In the local church, when you work here, you send missionaries out, and when you support missionaries who are on the field, you're fellow helpers with the missionaries. And I say, as I've been going around to the churches, that you at home are just as important to the missionary work in Mexico City as we are. And that sounds strange. It sounds a little bit like the preacher is exaggerating for emphasis. I'm really not. Because God is using his people in the place where he has called them to be, us in Mexico and you here, to be part of his work. And everybody is important. I want to encourage you with that. I don't want you to, after maybe watching the video tonight, say, "Wow, that's wonderful, but what can I do?" Here in your local church, you are a part of missionary work. You can continue to be a part of the missionary work of the Lord across the world, here in your own local church. But of course, we can also see as a principle in these passages here that some Christians are also involved in missionary work as missionaries who go out on the field. We see that if we turn back to Acts chapter 13 and put our emphasis back to Paul and Barnabas. Acts chapter 13, in verse 1, again, we read about Paul and Barnabas, and in verse 2, it says, "As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." The Lord called Paul and Barnabas to leave their local church. And they were working. Again, it says in verse 2, as they ministered to the Lord. That's something very important for future missionaries. We have children here and young people. If the Lord would call someone, or older folks as well, it doesn't matter the age, if the Lord would call someone to be a missionary, to go someplace else to serve the Lord, he calls people who are already active in their local church. I don't. Sometimes people may have a romantic idea of the mission field. I think that happens a lot. Of course, if I went over to Africa or to Mexico or some other country, I'd be on fire for the Lord. I'd be preaching everywhere and sharing the gospel. Nothing changes when you get in a plane and cross the border into another country. The Lord calls those who are actively participating and serving and ministering in their local church to go out and to do that same thing someplace else. It's exactly what Paul and Barnabas were doing here. They were actively serving their local church, and as they were serving, as they were ministering, they were called to go and do that someplace else. And so be a part of your local church. Be an active part of this local church. But then, of course, we see that Paul and Barnabas were called. How does someone become a missionary? Well, they're called. How are they called? We see it right here very clearly in verse 2. The Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." There is that internal call of the Holy Spirit to the ministry, to the mission field. Now, the Holy Spirit does not speak in the same way as did back here in the book of Acts, but the Holy Spirit still speaks, and he uses his word, and he uses the preaching of the word and the reading of the word, and sometimes our own conversations to call men and women into the ministry or onto the mission field. And each missionary has to have the internal call to be sure of the call of God upon his or her life before they go out to the mission field. But then it's not just the internal call, because I don't know how it is here, but in Latin America, there is a bit of a movement. It's in the charismatic circles where somebody says, "I want to be a pastor. I want to start a church here." And everybody says, "That's great. Go and start the church. We'll give you money." And where is the oversight? Where is the preparation? Where is any of that? We don't believe in that. We can see here in verse 3, they fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them. We can see that symbol of authority. We can see that there was supervision, there was that accountability as we have in biblical church government, as we have in our own denomination. The Lord calls someone internally to be a missionary, to be a minister, and then that internal call is confirmed by the local church, by the presbytery. That's important because it protects the missionary, it protects the church, it protects the churches on the mission field as well. All those things that we do in our day in missionary work is all based on these biblical principles. So Paul and Barnabas were working in their local church. They were serving, they were active, they were called by the Holy Ghost, they were sent out. And what do they do? What does a missionary do? We go here to Acts chapter 13, verse 5. We read, "When they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews." In chapter 14, verse 21, as they were coming back, again we read that it says, "When they preached the gospel to that city and had taught many." Missionaries go out to preach the gospel. Missionaries go out to share the gospel with other people. And you say, that's beyond obvious. Maybe. However, in our days, and it's especially the truth on the mission field. We can see it very clearly, but it's all over the place now. There's an emphasis on the social gospel. And there's a real emphasis on sending missionaries out to do social work for social issues. But we are not sending missionaries out simply to feed the hungry and clothe the poor. That's not the main reason why we're sending missionaries out. Those are good things. And many times that's involved in missionary work. And if we can help people, we help them. We love them, we help them. But see, unbelievers can go out and feed the hungry and clothe the poor and teach them to read. What the unbelievers cannot do is share the gospel of Jesus Christ to men and women who are dying and on the way to hell. That is the reason we send out missionaries. That is the reason the Holy Ghost is still calling men and women and young people to go to the mission field, to preach the gospel, to share the gospel so that boys and girls and young people and men and women can be saved from their sins. We need to never forget that. And that's what we need to pray for. We pray for our missionaries. Lord, give them grace to preach the gospel, to share the gospel. The Lord would save his people. Over in chapter 14, verse 22, we see what else Paul and Barnabas were doing as they were returning from their first missionary journey. It says they were confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Paul and Barnabas were not just coming along and preaching. And that was it. They were discipling the new believers. They were coming alongside them. They were exhorting them to continue in their faith, to continue growing in him. They were telling them about persecution and suffering. As we read in the book of Acts, they suffered with them. See, Paul and Barnabas were not just men who went out to preach. They weren't just preachers. They were pastors. They had that pastoral heart to not just preach and see the Lord doing a work, but then to come alongside the new believers and disciple them and help them and continue with them in their growth. That's important in the mission field. That's important here at home. That's important in any local church. And when the Lord has raised up men like that in our local churches to not only faithfully preach the word, but also come alongside the congregation and disciple and exhort and suffer with you, give thanks to God for ministers like that. Give thanks to God for men that the Lord has called and has gifted the local church with. And pray for more men like that in our own churches and on the mission field as well. Verse 23, it says, when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they believed. These missionaries then were establishing healthy, biblical, local churches. Again, they weren't just coming along and preaching and just leaving the people afterwards to fend for themselves. They were beginning local churches. They were establishing, planting new local churches and not even just leaving them without leadership, ordaining elders in every church. And that's the biblical principle for missionary work as well. Again, here at home, you understand the importance of elders. You have such a blessing here in Ulster, and I think you may understand it, but maybe you need to be reminded as well. We come to these churches, and we are interacting with the elders in the local churches here, and we've been so blessed. And to see the churches with that blessing of men with experience, men who are godly, as part of the leadership of the local churches here in this country, what an amazing blessing you have. In Mexico, we don't have that. Because for the most part, we have all first-generation Christians. These people did not grow up in Christian homes. They don't have 500 years of Reformation to look back upon in revival and the preaching of the word. This is all new. The men and women are being saved from their sins and being slowly taught the gospel and then taught the Christian life and then taught what it means to have a biblical, healthy local church. They're learning about church government. And when a local church of any kind, and especially on the mission field, can get to a point where establishing elders in every church, that's a great blessing. Because that's the biblical model. That is what missionary work should be focused upon, as it is all over the world in all of our local churches. That's the example we see here in Paul and Barnabas. This example of what the Lord was doing in this time. We need to pray that the Lord will continue to do that on the mission field. And then finally, if we go back to verses 26 and 27 there in Acts chapter 14, as an example of what Paul and Barnabas were doing as missionaries, they returned home, as we already mentioned. It says, and then sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. A missionary comes back home. This isn't home for me as such, but is home in a spiritual sense. The missionary goes back to visit the churches that have been praying and supporting him over all those years. And that's important. It's important, first of all, because it's biblical. It's a biblical example we see here with Paul and Barnabas. They returned to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. That's where they've been sent out from. And when they were come, it said they gathered the church together. Notice they didn't just talk to the leaders, because the whole church had been supporting them all this time. They gathered the whole church together and gave a report. That's what we're going to be doing after the service. That's what we've been doing, is we've been traveling to different churches here, giving a report of what the Lord has done. Now, why do we do that? It's really for two reasons. It's to encourage the churches, it's to encourage the missionary. It's to encourage the churches because, at least we hope, when we come and give a report of what the Lord is doing in another country across the ocean, we hope that's encouraging to you to remind you that the Lord is still working and the Lord is still building his church. Because whether it's back home for me in the U.S. or whether it's here, there are difficult days. Spiritually, we're in difficult days, and our countries are not following those principles that we've had for hundreds of years. It's a cold time. It's a dry time. It's been difficult. And all the churches we've gone to, people have been mentioning that, not seeing that same blessing as in the past. And it can be discouraging. I remind you, first of all, that the Lord never stops working, even when we can't see it. And just because we can't see with our eyes, maybe that visible blessing like it was in the past, does not mean that the Lord is not working here. The Lord is still working. He is still building his church. We should be encouraged. But it's not just the church at home. And no matter where you live, we do tend to start focusing in on ourselves and our own, the place where we live and our own local church. And we forget sometimes that the Lord is doing a great work in other countries, in other places. But that should encourage us, and we should be thankful for that, because it's the same family. It's the same body of Christ. Those faces that you'll see in the video presentation, you probably never meet them. They'll probably never be here, never be over there. But they're your brothers and sisters in Christ as well. And we will spend eternity together. And so we should be thankful the Lord is still saving men and women and young people and children. We should be thankful the Lord is still doing work even in other places. So we pray that's encouraging to you when we give the report. But it's also encouraging for us. See, Danielle and I and the kids didn't get back to do deputation meetings until last year. We've been on the field 12 years before we did deputation meetings. Reasons for that. When you go and plant a church and you start with nothing, there's no one to leave the work with while you go back and report to the churches. That was the issue at the very beginning, and then the pandemic. And maybe at some point we thought, well, we don't need to go back and give a report to all the churches. We can stay here and continue working. I'll tell you, it's been a great blessing to us. It's been tiring in a sense as well, but it's been spiritually refreshing. It's been helpful in one very specific reason for me. As a pastor, I think every minister probably feels this as well. You tend to get bogged down sometimes in the little details of your own local church, and you tend to focus on the things that are not going well and lose sometimes that broader vision, that broader picture of what the Lord has done and is continuing to do. And to be able to come here and to report on what the Lord has done, which is something that we've lived through for these years, but something that it's new for everybody here to see, and to see the joy of the Lord reflected in the hearts of the people here, and them expressing to us their gratefulness to the Lord for what he has done there in Mexico, has been a reminder to me of what the Lord has done over these years. And not just to get bogged down in the things that are difficult and maybe not going well, but to be thankful for what the Lord has done over all these years. And really the emphasis is on the Lord, because as you notice here in verse 27, when Paul and Barnabas came home and gave the report, it says very clearly in this text that they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And that's the focus. That's always the focus, that the Lord receives the glory. But he is the one doing the work and not us. We're instruments, either here at home or on the mission field. We're just instruments that the Lord uses. But the Lord is to receive the glory. Paul and Barnabas could have easily come back and said, look at what we've done. The Gentiles were getting saved. This was something new, something exciting. We're going to cause conflict in the church, as we see in Acts chapter 15. But the Lord was doing a great work, and Paul and Barnabas could have come back in the flesh and said, we are great missionaries. The Gentiles are being saved. But of course, they didn't do that. They gave all the glory to the Lord. They said how he had opened the door of faith. It's the Lord who opens the door. It's the Lord who saves the people. He uses us just as his instrument. So what is your involvement in the missionary work of the Lord? Because every Christian is to be involved. And I do say every Christian because I don't want to go any farther. I don't want to finish the message without reminding us that this message of every Christian being involved in missionary work is not applicable to every person who attends the local church, because it's only for Christians. Before God has saved you, before the Lord has given you conviction of your sins and repentance of your sins and has saved you by the blood of his son, you can't do anything in missionary work. You don't yet know the Lord. You have not yet been saved. You have nothing to tell. You have nothing to share, because you haven't received that good news yet. And so really, before we continue on with any other application, it's important for all of us to examine our hearts. Children and young people as well. We should not assume, always have that burden, because it's a great blessing for children to grow up in Christian families, in a Christian church, sometimes in Christian school. It's a great blessing. But at times there's also that assumption then that the child is growing up, and of course I'm a Christian because I've always been in church and we always talk about Jesus. And it's important for every child, every young person at any age, to understand the need of being personally saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. We should never assume that just because we come to church, or maybe we've come to church for 40 years, that that will save us. If you're trusting in your works, if you're trusting in anything that you might do, anything about who you are for your salvation, ask the Lord to save you from your sin, because only He can save you. Only He can give you that repentance and that solution to your sin, which is through the blood of Jesus Christ. But then, every Christian here, every Christian who is part of this particular local church, can be and should be involved in missionary work. And as we saw at the very beginning, that includes all of you. There's really no exceptions here. You can say, well, I'm too old, I'm too sick, I'm too whatever it might be. No exceptions to how you can serve the Lord in your own local church. It'd be in different ways. It may be completely behind the scenes. It may be in whatever scenario, but every Christian is to be involved in missionary work in some way in their local church. So continue to pray for your missionaries. Continue to give to your missionaries, because maybe you can't go out, but you can support those who have gone out. And don't downplay the importance that you have in missionary work. At the same time, it's a bit of a balance in a message like this, because I want everybody to leave encouraged. I want everybody to leave thinking about what they can do through this local church and missionary work. But on the other hand, the Lord is still calling people to leave behind their homes and their comfort and their culture to go serve Him someplace else. Because the gospel has come and has been preached in some of our countries for centuries. And there are other countries where it's just coming in, it's just being preached, or maybe not yet really been preached. And there are so many across this world who still have not heard the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Lord is still calling children, young people, adults to go out and to serve Him. Why do I say children, young people? I'm not talking about children being children going out in the mission field, but children from a very young age getting a burden, getting a desire to serve the Lord as a missionary. That's what the Lord did in my life when I was 7 years old. When I was 7 years old in the Sunday school class of my own local church, the Lord gave me a burden to be a missionary to Mexico. So every time I see the children in church and have the opportunity to share with the children, I think it's important to emphasize to all of us that the Lord can do that in the heart of a young child. Even more as you grow, if young people here, young people who may not be here tonight but are part of this local church, folks, we need to be praying for our young people, because the temptation of the world is so strong. It's telling them, you study, you get good grades, you make as much money as you can so you can live a comfortable life. That's what the world is teaching our young people. And the only thing that is temporary, completely temporary. And we need to be praying that our young people will get that burden to serve the Lord, that they would get the burden to serve the Lord either here at home or on the mission field. The Lord called them. And the Lord calls folks who are older as well, because sometimes we might think, well, now I have a family, now I have children, now I'm in this particular situation of my life with work and things like that, but of course I can't go. Be open to the leading of the Lord. Ask the Lord what He would have you to do. Because if the Lord would have you to stay here in Newtonards, then stay here and serve the Lord as part of this local church. But ask the Lord if He would have you to go, if He would have you to do something else, if He would have you give your life for His service in that way. Because every Christian should be involved in missionary work in some way. And we can be confident that the Lord is doing His work and will continue to do His work. As we close, we come here to Acts 14 and verse 26. It says, again, then sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. That's encouraging. The Holy Spirit back in Acts chapter 13 separated them, called them to go out. It says, well, again in verse 2, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they came back here in verse 26 of chapter 14, it's the work which they fulfilled. What the Holy Spirit called them to do, they fulfilled because of His power. Because God always gives spiritual success in His own time. So let's be involved in missionary work, all of us, for the glory of God. Let's close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father.